This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
I just want everyone to understand, for best audio quality here, I'm in my closet.
And Brock Rom.
As you should be. That's where all the best audio is.
Hey, welcome to the biz. You gotta make do with what you got.
In this introductory episode, we're going to share how we got into the sports production industry and what's changed for us along the way.
3, 2, 1, clap. Close enough.
That was, all right, whatever. But I guess we'll kind of try and figure this out.
Yeah, let's make sure this recording doesn't get out.
Hey, it's Justin here, and I just wanted to give a shout out to APM for providing that track for us here on the Sports Creative Podcast. We're doing this podcast as an extension of the sports creative community on Slack, so if you're finding us and aren't part of the community yet, you can sign up for free at sportscreativeslack.com. So with that, let's get on to the episode.
All right, I'm excited to be here talking with two guys that have been great resources for me over the years, Garrett Wright and Brock Rom. Thanks, guys, for joining. This is awesome. It's great to catch up.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for putting this together, Justin. It's also weird. I don't think I've ever called you Justin. I think I've always called you JP. So that's a real weird thing for me to say.
You can call me JP. It's all short. Good. I know Garrett calls me JP. So Garrett's in his closet.
Well, hey, I'm Garrett Wright. I producer at the Big Ten Network, and yeah, we're all Husker Vision grads. So we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. Just because we do have a little bit of a background history. And I think the one thing that's interesting about the three of us is that we've all taken different interests within the industry that should provide a really good perspective along the way. So Garrett, you ended up in college working for ESPN, and now you're with BTN, and Brock had his own business in addition to working with the Kansas City Chiefs and Notre Dame. So I think that in and of itself really helps us try and outline what's going on in the industry.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's just really cool the way that, to your point, Justin, everyone has kind of taken a different path. I mean, I feel like I talk to you guys and you're way more experienced in the equipment side and the technical side of broadcast. Not that you obviously don't have the production chops, but it's such a different skill set. Whereas me, I do a lot more of the, story production and features and things like that. And if I ever have equipment questions, I feel like I know that I'm going to go to you two because I have far less idea what I'm doing. Some might say you're nerdier than me. I wouldn't. But, it's awesome just to have this base set of people that we can go to in the industry. And I think to me, that's kind of what I want this to be, is just a lot of different perspectives and on what production looks like and, technical, creative, the process, equipment, all of it. And I think, because of our backgrounds, we have a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, Brock, I think you are definitely someone that is very experienced when it comes to equipment and technology. That seems to be really where your sweet spot is.
Yeah, so a little bit of my background, like Garrett said, we all started at Husker Vision. Actually, my first ever shoot was with Garrett Wright. Garrett was 2 years ahead of me in college. And
I did not realize that was your first shoot.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll never forget it because we shot a softball player doing a recap, it was a big screen feature for the video board. So first of all, I was like, I get to work on a feature that gets to go on the video board as a true freshman in college. Like my second week of school, it was like unbelievable. We had to shoot this softball player who gave like an update of what was going on around athletics that week. And I really wanted to be at the shoot. It was my first time ever shooting. I thought Garrett was so cool. He was 2 years older than me. He had worked at Husker Visions longer than me.
And we were working on a big screen feature.
I knew nothing, absolutely nothing. And I skipped two classes to go on that shoot. And I remember you getting mad at me. You're like, you're not supposed to skip class for this. And I was like, I'd skip any class to do this. So that was my first ever, between you and Derek Sassman, you were my two first people I ever met at Husker Vision, which was just a terrible impression of the place.
That's hilarious to me that I told you not to skip class because
you skipped so many classes.
Like, hundreds of classes over the years where teachers would be like, ah, it's not an excused absence for you to go on a shoot. And I would basically just say, okay, I don't care.
Yeah. So, I skipped class. When I was going through Husker Vision, I just wanted to know and learn everything. I had a real core group of people there who really pushed each other. You know, two people are still my best friends, and in Kevin Brebner and Matt Turner, who we just kind of pushed each other further and further. And then Mike Hodges, who was full time at Husker Vision, was a huge mentor for me. He actually retired a couple years ago. I wrote him a note thanking him, but he did a really good job of not just teaching me the steps to get A to B on video in a control room, shooting ENG style lighting. He taught me why we do those things and how it happens. He taught me how video works, not just the steps to get video to the right place. And that's what got me really interested in the tech side. Also, when I was at Husker Vision, we moved from SD to HD between my freshman and sophomore year. So I was able to be around when Alpha Video was there doing the upgrade. And I got to just ask a lot of really dumb questions.
Like, shout out Jeff Volk.
Jeff Volk answered a lot of my dumb questions. Again, Jeff's still a friend in the industry today. And that really got me really interested in the kind of tech side of things, not just on the live side, but I'm a huge cinematography and gear nerd too. I don't do as much feature work anymore. I'm technically the director of live production and broadcast technology at Notre Dame. So I'm primarily live production, broadcast, and video board. But I'm still a huge camera nerd. I still research what's going on with everything in the industry. When I was at the Chiefs and we got our first Aria Mira, that was like one of the best moments of my life, right up there to the birth of my son and getting married, to work with a camera of that caliber. So yeah, that's kind of what got me started.
You put all sorts of lenses on that bad boy too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. B4, EF, PL, you name it. If it had a mount on it, we found a way to get it on there.
Yeah, no, I think I remember seeing in social media just a stream of Brock's different attempts at different kinds of lenses and camera setups and rigs and trying to figure out how to make it all happen.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I was very fortunate to work for a place that you know, had the budget and freedom to let me work with that kind of stuff, because most places, if they knew me at all, they should be like, don't let this guy do this. This is a bad idea. But I've been very fortunate in my career.
Going over to Garrett, I think one of the things that I remember working with you when you were at Elon is that you are kind of on, you have a limited budget, you have limited resources, and you do have to make things happen. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've kind of done a little bit of everything where, you know, I was very much a one-man band. I was at Elon University for 2 years from 2010, not long after I graduated, and until the summer of 2012. And I mean, I was the video guy for athletics. I didn't do team video, but I did any kind of creative video we did there. So, I mean, I was coming up with ideas. I was shooting, I was editing, I was writing, and I'm a year out of college. Like, I did not know enough to be the one guy running everything there, but expectations were like really high. Elon actually has a really great communications school. And you'd think that'd be good for, you know, finding help or finding students, but they had such good programs in place already. Cause when I got there, I was the first video guy that they had ever hired in athletics for like creative video. So it was just, they already had such great programs. Kids wanted to run inside the comm school. And so it just trying to do everything on a small budget, you had to be super creative, which, you know, at times is easy. And at times I felt like I was just running into a brick wall with ideas. Just being creative and finding new ways to do production, I think there was such a good start for me, because staying in college athletics like I did, I went on to the University of Minnesota after 2 years at Elon, and it never really changes. You're always trying to do everything on a shoestring budget within college athletics, unless you're at one of the, like, I don't know, probably 5 to 10 best schools. And even there, your budget isn't probably what you need it to be. Like, if you're at Clemson, you got a great budget, but you're also trying to do 15 to 20 times as much as we were doing at Elon, and your budget's only like 10 times as much, you know? So it never ever feels like you have enough in production to do what you want to do in college athletics. So I think me starting there, I feel like it really helped me become more creative because you just had to be. And, you know, right now we're going through all this coronavirus stuff where I work at Big Ten Network now and we're working from home and we're just having to come up with like creative ideas, even though we can't travel to go do interviews, even though we can't, you know, go meet with the coaches and players. And I already feel like I'm a little bit ahead of the game just because that's what we had to do when I was working for universities and colleges. So I feel like I've kind of had a little leg up figuring out how to do this here in this insane time we're in.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. Taking constraints and turning them into strengths, I think, is a interesting point, especially across the landscape in all of college sports. Brock, anything come to mind for you when it comes to making as good of content as you can on limited resources?
Yeah, I mean, when I owned my own business, 2010 Productions, I owned it with my business partner, Matt Turner, who I went to college with. That was that entire venture. We didn't, you know, ever take any small business loans or anything. We just, you know, for lack of a better term, bootstrapped it. So it was constantly like, how do we make something that looks... How do we make like a spot or a commercial or a promo for a company that looks like it was, you know, $250,000 budget on like a $2,500 budget, you know? So we were constantly doing that and constantly trying to find new avenues to find new clients. Big thing we moved into was live streaming. Not a lot of people were doing multicam live streaming at the time, especially on like a corporate level. So we got into just doing really budget level Blackmagic ATEM switchers with a computer I built out of old parts we had lying around as a Wirecast encoder, and then setting up Wowza media servers and going and we'd stream Fortune 500 company shareholder meetings. So people could do virtual voting. Now that's like every shareholder meeting in the world is streamed. But at the time, there weren't a lot of people doing it and we had to do it on a budget that was pretty shoestring because nobody, we were really dumb. We didn't have a bunch of upfront payments. We had a lot of clients pay on the completion of projects, right? So we had to put up money up front and then hopefully recoup it on the back end. And there's always a chance, even if you sign a contract or whatever, there could be problems with collecting on the back end. We definitely had more than one issue with that, as I'm sure anybody who runs a small business has had issues with clients paying before. But yeah, that entire operation, I still have pictures from me just loading up the back of my old Jeep Grand Cherokee with streaming gear and cameras and hitting the road and driving to Chicago and Dallas and just trying to make it work and hoping we're going to get paid on the back end.
Yeah. So Garrett, when you're at Elon, as you mentioned, you were a one man show for the most part. How did you now get to the point where you're at Big Ten Network as a producer after going to Minnesota?
For me, I mean, getting to Big Ten Network was just, you know, connections, and networking and all that. But as far as what I'm doing, my job role, I mean, it at Minnesota, the first couple of years, again, for whatever reason, I keep getting hired into places where I was one of the first like two creative video people they had ever hired, in the athletic department. And that was in 2012. So Minnesota was behind the curve and they knew that. But because of that, I was still having to do everything because there was two of us, at Minnesota. And then eventually, as we kept hiring, we kept doing more, we kept getting resources. Like there were a ton of people doing everything day to day. And we had like 20 to 30 students that were working part time for us. And, it allowed me to pivot a little bit more to features. You know, I wasn't doing live events as much. When I first started, I was, you know, TDing an event, or I was running click effects or whatever for an event, and that stuff started to go away and I was able to just focus on putting together, you know, one or two really good things, in the course of a week or two, which was nice. I don't think many people get that in college athletics. And I just kind of realized that I loved the producer side a lot more than I loved the hands-on side. I loved, you know, coming up with the ideas and figuring out the best way to do it and the logistics of it and kind of, you know, production coordination combined with the actual, like I loved going out on shoots and directing and producing on site and, you know, making sure my camera people knew what they were doing, but also just trusting them to get good stuff because we had great shooters on our crew. So I just realized that's what I love to do. And we came up with, we got rid of our coaches show altogether. We had no TV coaches show after my second year there. And so we started to do a feature series that went out on web, and it got the attention of Big Ten Network. And, you know, after a few years, there was an opening at Big Ten Network as a producer on a show called The Journey. And it's kind of docu-series, docu-features. And, you know, my boss, just having reached out to me for stuff when I was at Minnesota, reached out to me again and was like, hey, we've got this opening here at BTN, you know, if you know anyone interested. And I immediately just jumped on it and ended up here. And so now my role is definitely more project management, a little more oversight. I still shoot a little bit. I still rough cut. You know, I'll lay down a roll and a rough B roll, but at Big Ten Network, it's much more, you know, we have full-time editors. We're hiring shooters that, you know, on Saturdays they shoot for us and then Sundays they go shoot for NFL films. So like
that used to be hiring, me. You used to hire me to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I somehow you slipped through the cracks, but I'm kidding. You
saw my shots and you said, this is enough of this. This is enough of this.
that was well before my time. If you were still going, I would, I'd love to be able to hire you. But anyway, all that to say, I just kind of was able to focus more on the feature side and, you know, hiring people to do, you know, a lot of the technical skills, and I'm able to focus more on the idea side, the project management side, and just making sure that the final product is my vision, but I'm able to work with other people to make that happen rather than having to do it all by myself, which I love personally.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's one thing in there that you said that stands out to me, especially in particular for younger professionals. And that is you did all the work and the groundwork, and you guys were producing shows and you got noticed because of that. So you did all the legwork and production up front and put your name on something that was recognized that could then spin off into something else for you, another opportunity.
Well, and I think that's, you know, really what set me up to be able to do this role well is just, you know, I'm working with full-time editors now, but I know how to edit. Like I can take a project and say like, okay, this is possible in the edit room or this is not possible in the edit room. You know, I'm not cutting on paper with just, you know, lines that I know I want from a transcript and then handing it to an editor and saying, I think this will be about how long it should be. Like, I'm still able to give them an A roll and a B roll that even though it's rough, like it still is going to fit their needs and fit what I'm trying to do rather than hoping that they can do it, you know, and same with shooting. I'm not asking my shooters to do stuff that, you know, I know is really impossible to do. You know, when I come in with an idea because I've shot, you know, I've been on the sidelines of games at Minnesota and Elon for, you know, 7+ years. And, you know, I know what a good interview looks like where I'm not coming in and just saying, I don't know, here's what I thought, but I don't know if it's possible. You know, it's nice to have that background as having to do all that one man band stuff, because without it, I would not be the producer I am. And I still have a ton to learn as a producer, but, you know, it's definitely given me a leg up.
Yeah, that's the thing probably I'm most grateful for, too. And again, I attribute a lot of that back to Husker Vision, is just learning everything and understanding what goes into everything. We do a lot of linear events out of our room for ESPN and NBC, being with that unique partnership. But a lot of producers and directors come in, and Garrett, you know this from working at ESPN, all they've done all their life is sit in a producer or AP chair. They might've been an AP and a PA, then an AP and then a producer, or a PA, an AD, and then a director, you know, but like most of them haven't even touched a switcher or a replay machine. You know, they loosely understand how it works and they use it to put it together. But I found that I'm so much more valuable to my team that I can specifically tell them what I want and how to do it and work with them and getting to a point where, it, you know, I can act as more of a teacher than of a, I'm just going to come in and you execute this, you execute this, and you execute this. So I've never believed in the jack of all trades, master of none. I think being a jack of all trades has helped me master the trades that I want to be, as proficient as possible in.
Yes. Yeah, I think when we bring in entry level positions for what we do, we have them do a breadth of different things just because it helps them understand what they want to do and where they want to advance. And I agree with you on the Husker Vision side of things. We got to travel with the team. We got to shoot. I shot a lot of blue video, I will tell you that. And I had to fix it in post. And the good thing about shooting and having to edit your own stuff is that it's on you to figure out how to make it happen and make those adjustments and learn from it and grow from it.
I love that's the one of the number one reasons I moved on from the Chiefs and I took the job at Notre Dame was because I wanted to work with students again. And we have about 100 students in our student worker program. But being able to let those, it doesn't have to be a student, but an entry-level employee be in a position to fail and have it be okay. It is so valuable for that person. Like you said, Justin, we were put in that position at Nebraska. I mean, there were consequences. I'm doing air quotes that you can't see on the audio. But there were consequences, right? But it wasn't like you lost your job or, I mean, I shot so much blue video. I broke a B4 lens. Like I just snapped it, you know? It was not ideal. I got yelled at. I should have been yelled at. But I didn't get fired. You know, I was allowed to learn from my mistake and keep moving on. And I think that's really important, especially when people are starting their career out.
Yeah. So let's dive in a little bit more into the Husker Vision experience. Cause I think that is definitely the foundation that we all have built our careers off of. And it comes from control room introduction, running tape to tape, to audio analog panels and some of those kinds of things, in addition to shooting a coach's show or shooting in the field. What stands out to you guys from that experience that you still look back, in addition to what we've already talked about?
Something that I think people will not understand nowadays and kids coming up through the industry will not understand is we only had 3 real edit suites. And there was no editing on your laptop. It was Avid, right? You had to have Avid hardware. So we couldn't work until after the full-timers left because the full-timers had it booked all day long. So we would come in at like 7, 8 o'clock and we would rotate and we would all just play Halo in the front lobby area waiting for people to get done with their features so we could go in and edit. And that was actually probably really bad for me because it's made it so my most productive edit times, even to this date, are like from midnight to 3 a.m.
100% agree.
Yeah. But with that being said, it was such a great, it was really good. That's how I got to know everybody at Husker Vision, were those times when we just had to be up there and we had to get our stuff done. We had a little coach's show the next day that our features were due for. But we had to wait for people to get done with that edit time. So the biggest thing I took away from Husker Vision are the friends I made. What I learned was extremely important. I'll always say I learned more at Husker Vision than I did in any of my college classes. If I could go back and do it all again, no offense to Nebraska's journalism school, but I don't think I would have majored in journalism. I learned everything I needed at Husker Vision. But those friendships were so important because they not only gave me friendships that I've had my entire life, but they've also gave me industry contacts like you are that I can reach out to anytime, you know, and ask a question and see how people are doing other things. So it taught me how to network at a very, very, very early age.
Yeah. I mean, I second that. To me, it's the networking. Like, we got 4 years of experience at the professional level at Husker Vision as students that, I mean, I remember going to ESPN right out of school, and we had to edit tape to tape. I was in the remote, side, and people had no idea how to edit tape to tape. Like, I was one of the probably 2 out of 10 people that they hired at the same time as me for like the entry level position that actually knew how to edit tape to tape. And it just, that was incredible to me. But beyond that, to Brock's point, like, the networking is what made it. Like, I learned to network so early. I can call anyone at any time. I just, that's the thing that I impress upon college kids. And I talk to you know, college kids from time to time across the Big Ten, or, you know, at Nebraska or at Elon, I've done some stuff. And it, like, that's the thing I impress more than anything is learn to network, stay in touch with people, and like, don't be afraid to just bug people. Because if you're willing to bug people, like me and Justin, we went and did ESPN remote shoots all throughout college. We went to Columbia, Missouri. I know we went to, Ohio State at Michigan, just to be like Big runners house. And utilities for
work the X Games.
Yeah. Yep. For ESPN. And all that started because ESPN came to Nebraska and needed some utilities for a game. And we did it, and we stayed in touch with those people, and we got to travel all over the country in college because of that. And one of those people, the production coordinator for the X Games, Becca Preston, she ended up helping me get an ESPN internship and then an ESPN full-time job out of school within that remote department. Like, those connections I made have set me up for my career the whole way. And I can't talk enough about how important networking is and just staying in touch with people, being persistent and willing to hear the answer no. And I think, you know, Husker Vision set us up for that better than anything else.
Yeah, Husker Vision, my first job that was in a TV truck that wasn't in the Husker Vision control room was because Versus Network, before they were bought by NBC, needed a runner. And so I was like, I'll go do it. I went and ran it. And then the day before, the producer comes up to me and says, do you know anybody who runs Foxbox, which is the bug? Because our Foxbox operator just got sick. And I lied and I said I knew how to do it. Really, I just wanted to make $600. But I totally, with what everything I learned at Husker Vision, even though I didn't know how to run Foxbox, I was able to sit down and figure it out, you know, and do a serviceable job. You know, the producer and director were very lenient. The EIC in the truck couldn't get the clock data back for the bug, so I had to manually start and stop the clock, play clock and game clock on the bug, which now knowing what I know, I should have went to the TD and said like, hey man, you got to do a backup bug and DV and crop it. I had no idea. I'm just like, oh, I'm the person who gets to like start and stop the bug now. I don't know. So it was terrible. I did like a serviceable job considering the circumstances, but I never would have been put in that position or able to do that type of networking if it wasn't for Husker Vision and the opportunities they gave me.
Hey, Garrett, I remember when we were in Missouri, we were down on the field and this guy was running this really long fiber run and he was showing us how to do figure eights, and it was a rainy game. So he was showing us how he set up the mics to be protected with the sleeves and some of those kinds of things. So just some of those interesting elements, and being able to wrap cable is super important for those kinds of jobs. And it sounds super basic, but being able to over under is what can get you in a lot more doors than you think it can.
That's actually the first place I ever heard that some people use condoms over the mics. Yep. to keep them protected. I loved that. I that stuck with me. I don't think they did it on that shoot, but I just remember that guy telling us that on that shoot in Columbia, Missouri. God, what was that? Probably 2006. And it stuck with me like, you know, almost 15 years later. It's just, we talk a lot about Husker Vision so far, but like what I love is those are experiences that you can get, like, maybe not that exact experience, but if you network, if you're like talking to the right people, like Husker Vision wasn't in for us. It helped us get in the door, but you can do that on your own, you know, without Husker Vision. Like these things apply across the board. You know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, Husker Vision is the end all be all, no. But you know, these are principles I think that carry across, and, you know, everyone can be doing while they're in college or even, you know, when your first few years out of college. You know, their experiences that you can, you know, take and learn from a little bit, even though it's, you know, you're not still in college or you're not at Nebraska.
Speaking to the condoms real quick, in all of our location sound audio go kits, there's just a ton of unlubricated condoms in there. And it's very confusing to people when we first bring them on set and having to explain to them why there's a large amount of condoms in our location sound kits.
It's beautiful.
It's hard to explain to students.
I mean, are they stealing them?
No, but it's just
you're at Notre Dame. You probably can't say.
It's an awkward conversation to have.
You know, beyond all that, I think, you know, Justin, you're with the Celtics now, and you know, kind of, what is your career path been? How have you gotten to where you're at, and you know, to the senior position you're at now, from, you know, kind of one man band and stuff yourself throughout your career?
Yeah, I think it's kind of tied back to everything that you guys have touched on. It's trying to figure things out for myself. I think that's been the thing that's been so helpful for me, is I need to figure out how to provision a stream to go out, and okay, I got to figure it out. Let's figure it out. I want to look into that. And so all along the way, you know, I started the Olympic Committee as an intern, ended up at Illinois doing web video, which 12 years ago is totally different than it is today, right? I was streaming 240 by 180 to the two parents that are watching the volleyball game on dial-up internet in some regard. So, and I was also part of the network, or the shows that we did in arena and TV shows. So it's to go from that. And then in Chicago, when I was with the Bears, I was also in web video. I really just dove into web video, and I've been on the digital side ever since, and really got to know what it takes to build internet streams and you know, streaming to different platforms. And now all that's kind of figured out for people through different programs like Livestream or something along those lines. They don't really have to know all the nitty-gritty details that you had to try and figure out back in the past. And then I over the time, I've really tried to take my video background and spin it into motion graphics, because that's really one of the things that really interested me, and how I've progressed in my career is just trying to create value from creating graphics. And I used to pause Big Ten Network when I was back in Chicago, just to see how they brought graphics on, or ABC whenever I was watching college football. I used to pause the TV and go frame by frame, be like, how can I recreate that? And that's kind of spun into almost creating a job for myself and adding value through motion graphics. And I really enjoy the challenge of trying to figure all that out now. And that's kind of where I am. I, you know, leading the video production side. I also help manage our asset management backend with IT and focus on motion graphics.
Yeah, I'll say I've been able to watch your progress as a motion graphic designer, and it's been unbelievable. We go to that at work when we're looking at reels, you know, we want to emulate or work we want to, you know, get inspiration from. And, you know, we look at your stuff all the time with the Celtics.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. No, it's been fun. And I think that's the thing that really keeps me going. It's how can I figure this out? You know, I've signed up for another class, and you always have to keep pushing yourself to keep going. So like when you say that, I go, man, there's so many people that I follow that I feel like do work that is way better than me. So that's just, I think that's just the mentality, just to keep going, improving and pushing and trying to figure out how you can keep leveling up in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. I think that desire to push yourself and, you know, find new ways, like, oh man, there's so many people better than this at me. Why would anyone hire me? Why would anyone like keep me around? Like, I think there's that imposter syndrome that just kind of has to drive creatives, and it's awful sometimes, but man, I found that too. And I think that's a great point, Justin, like you need to find something to push you, and it has to be, you know, healthy probably, you know, you don't want that imposter syndrome to come on too strong where you just doubt yourself all the time, but like always knowing that there's someone better than you, there's someone like coming up, like finding ways to push yourself is so important in this industry. Like Brock, I would be curious to hear how you've kind of found ways to push yourself in your role doing live production stuff.
Oh yeah, no, I constantly think I'm terrible at my job. That's a big part of it. No, but in all honesty, you know, awards aren't everything. But when I was in Kansas City, there was an award for best live director in our region for our regional Emmys. And that was a huge push for me. The awards don't mean much. It all depends on who's judging. I don't put a ton of stock in regional Emmys. I think they're really good for your team if you can win them, especially a lot of entry level employees. That's a really good marker to feel good about the work you're doing. But I knew, like, man, I'm competing with the Blues live directors, and I'm competing with the Cardinals and the Royals, you know, and all these really good RSNs who are producing really great content. But I always said, man, it would be so cool if I could win best director. And my second to last year with the Chiefs, or it would have been my last Emmy cycle with them, I ended up winning it. So that was a really cool mark that I set for myself. Again, I wouldn't have beat myself up if I didn't win it, right? It could have been, you have so many different judges and it's so subjective on those awards. But that was a really cool benchmark to set. And to get there was a really, really good feeling. On top of that, when you're in the collegiate space and the launching the ACC network has been probably a bigger catalyst for this, but we're always comparing ourselves to other schools, not in a like, oh, they did this better than us, or we're doing this better than them. We're like, oh, they're trying something totally different. They did this open totally different than we would have done it, right? We should try to incorporate that. Oh, they're using parts of the expression package that we didn't even know existed. We should go find out where that's at, you know? So being part of a conference that's launching a network, again, a really unique situation. But it was extremely helpful just to be cognizant of what other teams were doing and knowing that they were working with similar resources to us. They maybe had like two full-time employees on a show and then probably 30 students, you know, 20 to 30 students doing the rest. So it's not like anybody had like this huge leg up. Everybody had kind of newer control rooms, newer equipment. But you had, you know, a couple full-timers and a bunch of students. So that was really helpful to just look at what they're doing and seeing what we can take and piecemeal and get inspiration from there.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives there. The quickest way to get us to stop this podcast is to not tell anyone about it. So leave us your 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe so you're the first person to catch each new episode. And remember, the world needs your voice. So keep creating.